Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Caroline Fenton from Stillman & Company and Southeastern Carolines as well. Caroline, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. Doing great. How are y'all?
We're awesome. Good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So there's a whole lot going on in the world of college football right now. Let's just start
with
yeah, there's a lot of things to look at right now. Let's just start with the SEC title game. What did you make of Georgia's performance in that game and the performance of LSU even after losing their starting quarterback?
I mean, Georgia just continues to prove to me why they're the number one team in the country. And look, it wasn't anything that I didn't expect. I didn't expect LSU to go out there and make this a super, super close game. I didn't expect Georgia to go out there and make mistakes. I didn't expect this to be a super competitive game. But I do have to give credit to LSU. I think they played really, really tough, even when this game seemed like it was out of reach for LSU. I didn't ever feel like LSU was playing like it was out of reach. I didn't ever feel like LSU was playing like, oh, well, you know, we'll give up on this one. Even when Jaden Daniels goes down, which let me give credit to Jaden Daniels for being tough as nails, not just on Saturday, but just throughout this entire season, seems like he's never really quit. And even just playing on Saturday, I don't know this for certain, but I can probably have a pretty good idea that he was not 100%, but still suited up anyways. Even when Jaden Daniels went down, Garrett Nussmeier, the backup, comes in, and then he comes out and he's slinging the ball all over the yard. I mean, they never really quit, and they always believed that there was at least a path to getting into the end zone. So it was not what it wasn't unexpected, a dominant performance from Georgia. And I will be totally honest, I didn't expect it to be such a high scoring game with those two defenses. Geez, 50-30. Shout out to whoever took the over on that game. But yeah, it was a hard fought game for LSU, and Georgia just continues to prove to me that they are the best team in the country and that they're going to be a really, really difficult team to beat moving forward.
So the playoff field is set, Caroline. The Heisman finalists are set. Do you have do you have an issue with either or both?
I don't have an issue with the college football playoff. I feel like that was really how it should have shaken out. I hate that Ohio State snuck their way in there because I think if you, in your most difficult game on the schedule at home, your biggest game, your biggest rivalry, and you get blown out by a Michigan team missing one of their top players, I don't think you deserve the opportunity to compete for a championship. But I understand USC loses, Ohio State comes in. That's just the way that, you know, it falls. So I don't have a problem with that. That was really going into Selection Sunday. That's how I thought it should have shaken out. Well, the Heisman, on the other hand, I mean, I just think it's pretty criminal that Bryce Young and Hendon Hooker both aren't the top four finalists. I understand why they weren't. You know, you have two losses on your schedule, and Hendon Hooker, you know, going down with an injury. I understand that that's not necessarily in the Heisman qualifications, but I thought that the Heisman Trophy was supposed to go to the best player in college football, not the best player on the best team. So if that's what they want it to be, then that's fine. You know, let's just go ahead and stand here and say that. It'll go to the best player on the best team. That is, to me, the only reason why Stetson Bennett got an invite to New York. So I absolutely have a problem with the Heisman. I think it's been flawed for many, many years, but I do think that even in a flawed system, the best player always emerged, or 9 times out of 10, the best player emerged with the Heisman Trophy. This season, I don't think that that is necessarily the case. And I don't look at this top four and say, wow, you know, these really truly are the four best players in college football. I don't feel that way. And I don't think it's a coincidence that 3 out of the 4 finalists are competing in the college football playoff.
Well, Caroline, to that point, every time we get to this point of the year and the college football playoff matchups are announced, a lot of things we talk about is, are we actually going to get some good games in the semifinals? So Georgia taking on Ohio State, TCU taking on Michigan. What do you think of those matchups? And can Ohio State or TCU give the higher seeds a game in the college football playoff semifinals?
I think the Georgia-Ohio State game is going to be really interesting. And I always say, I think the one, you know, through the past few years at college football playoffs, I always look at it like the 1 versus 4 game is going to be a blowout. the 2 versus 3 is going to be super interesting, because I view that more as a closer matched, closer matched teams at 2 and 3, and, you know, the more dominant team taking on the team that snuck in at 1 versus 4. But I think I'm leaning almost the opposite this year. I think 1 versus 4, Ohio State versus Georgia, is going to be a really interesting game. Ultimately, I think Georgia comes out of that game victorious. And I think that Michigan-TCU might be a little bit more of a blowout. The Michigan is just going to blow TCU out of the water. But interesting little betting tidbit. TCU opened as a 9.5-point dog, and they have moved up to either 7.5 or 7-point dog, or whatever sportsbook you prefer to use. So I think that's kind of an interesting little tidbit there, that Vegas might know something that we don't. If there's an injury on one side, that's moving the line, or people just believe that TCU, and it's just the money coming in on TCU that's making the line shift. But I think that's a little interesting tidbit to look at. But ultimately, I think it's going to be Georgia and Michigan in the national championship, which is leads me to, why don't we just go back to BCS days? Why do we need 12 teams in the college football playoff? Why can't we just have the two best teams playing against each other? Because ultimately, I think that's how it usually ends up anyways in the college football playoff. But I digress. I think it should be a fun weekend of football. I don't view any of these games as being a quote-unquote boring game, or a game that I feel super confident about who could come out victorious, because I think these are all interesting teams that have shown why they are in there all season.
So you're a 12-team hater too?
Hater.
Oh, my gosh. Hater. So much, there we go. So much is rampant.
I love it.
Rampant on this station. My goodness. Well, look.
What, do you like a 12-team playoff?
Oh, though? Absolutely. Yeah, I mean.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, first of all, campus game. Now, I will say this. It's a huge difference one way or the other. They go campus sites or not. They have to go all campus sites till the semis. It's ridiculous to consider anything else. Though you think about look at the matchups right now. I mean, I don't have it in front of me. We would have some tremendous games. There will be great games in the 12-team playoff. Also, this last weekend, Caroline, see, now you got me going. It would have been incredible in a 12-team. Incredible. LSU playing for it. Kansas State playing for it. Every game would have been teams playing to get into the playoff instead of basically nothing at stake for anyone this weekend.
But that's not true. That's not true. You say LSU has nothing at stake. LSU was playing to play in the Sugar Bowl. LSU's options were either Sugar Bowl or Citrus Bowl. That's what they were playing for.
Okay.
That was not for a college football playoff, but you lose 3 games in the regular season, you do not deserve a chance at the college football playoff.
Hey, amen. Well, you do if it's 12 teams, which is what it will be, and you will deserve it.
Great matchups in the 12-team playoff. Play those games in a bowl. Penn State, Clemson, absolutely. I think that would be a great matchup, which was what it would be, 8 versus 9, or 7 versus 8, whatever it would be in a 12-team playoff. Play that game in a bowl. You lose to South Carolina, get out of here. You don't get the opportunity to play for a championship.
But we don't care.
That
but bowls
mean something.
But bowls are now. And that's the thing. I mean, but you're like, they're playing for the Sugar Bowl. I mean, the way things have gone, because we have any kind of playoff, bowls are like they don't matter like they used to. I mean, if you want to go
Sugar
back
Bowl
to
versus Citrus Bowl.
Well, okay, fine. I mean, I would rather be in the Sugar Bowl, but let me look.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm old enough to remember half of my life was we voted. You know, everybody voted on who the national champion. We can go back to that and just
I
say,
can't believe that's
ooh, the champion gets the Big 8 champ plays in the Orange Bowl, and the Big 10 and the Pac-10 play in the Rose. And, I mean, we can go back to that if you guys want.
The Big 8. Okay, Boomer.
Yes. Well, I know. But, like, I'm excited about this. It's fine. I mean, we've been talking about Wham. Do you know Wham, by the way?
Jeez.
Do you know the band Wham?
I don't know.
Dang it.
Thank you, Caroline.
Well, we're going to have a lesson on Wham.
Caroline, last thing for you here. Tennessee, Clemson in the Orange Bowl. How big a deal is this for Tennessee? What kind of opportunity do you think this is to take on Dabo Swinney and Clemson?
It truly is the Orange Bowl. It is the orangest bowl that has ever been
orange.
Orange Bowl. A lot of orange. This is an awesome opportunity. I think after Tennessee lost to South Carolina, all of the national eyes that were on Tennessee were just like, okay, man, you know, like everything you did this season was pretty darn cool, but now that you lose to South Carolina, we are not going to pay attention to you anymore. And I think that once Hendon Hooker got hurt, and I hate that for him, a lot of people counted Tennessee out. And I think that this is an incredible opportunity for Tennessee to kind of reclaim that same reputation that they've had all season long, that this is an unstoppable, really, really great team. And for Joe Milton to show out and be like, look, Hendo's my guy, but the job might be mine next year. So I think this is a great opportunity for Joe Milton and a great opportunity for this team to just have a little bit more momentum going into next season, especially with the transfer portal being open. I think there's going to be lots of eyes on Tennessee Clemson this weekend. Next weekend.
I think you're exactly right. Caroline Fenton joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock here on the program. Caroline, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Appreciate y'all. See you next week.
Absolutely. Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Speaking of the transfer portal, my goodness, is it wild right now in college football, including some local ties in the transfer portal that are going to be very interesting to see where things land on that front. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Michelle Knezovic has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. And switching from college football to the NFL, Superbook wants to make your parlays pop this season. You want to win some money for the holiday season? Then all you got to do is download the Superbook Sportsbook app and the weekly parlay bonus from Superbook Sports if you place a bet on a three-team football parlay. So listen, let's take a look at some of the games we've got coming up this Thursday. We've got the Baltimore Ravens versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Don't think Lamar Jackson is going to play, so give me the Pittsburgh Steelers minus the 3. Listen, if you want to keep going down this list, you got the Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys are favored by 17 points. Listen, I know that is a lot, but the Houston Texans are by far the worst team in the NFL right now, so give me the Dallas Cowboys minus the 17. And then also we got a local one here. The Jacksonville Jaguars coming to town to face the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans are minus 3.5. I think they have a bounce back week, and I think they easily cover that 3.5 and win by about a touchdown. So like I said, if you place a three-team football parlay, Superbook will give you a $10 bonus voucher. It's your holiday bonus courtesy of Superbook Sports. So rack up the wins and earn some holiday cash by betting parlays with Superbook. So all you got to do, like I said, download the Superbook Tennessee app and place your parlays today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for joining us in the last segment. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. JC in Goodsville, if you have front row seats in the Orange Bowl, be awake for some Joe Milton overthrows. Maybe something we gotta monitor.
Joe overthrows.
Yeah, I like Joe overthrow better.
Joe overthrows.
Just combine the whole thing.
The Joe overthrows.
Yeah. By the way, Clemson a 7-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook against Tennessee.
Interesting.
Just throwing it out there.
Interesting. Well,
they looked a whole lot better with Klubnik at quarterback.
I was going to say, it's partially because Hendon Hooker's not in there, and also because DJ Uiagalelei is also not in there.
He is not in there. Uiagalelei entering the transfer portal, and that is a very common phrase in college football right now. Lots of people into the transfer portal. I mean, first off, I saw Slovis in there again, too, from Pittsburgh. I was like, wait, didn't he just get there? What's going on with Slovis? He's back in the portal.
Yeah, took a year in Pittsburgh, figured he'd try somewhere else next year.
I guess so. And here locally, Joe, Mike Wright announcing yesterday that he is also entering the transfer portal and leaving Vanderbilt with 2 years left of eligibility. I don't think a huge surprise there. I think we kind of see the writing on the wall of A.J. Swan being the starting quarterback at Vanderbilt next year.
Yep.
But I said this yesterday on Twitter. Like, I'm a big Mike Wright fan. I wish him the absolute best moving forward because, to me, he embodies everything that's right about college football. I thought it was really impressive this year, him kind of sticking it out and waiting for his opportunity to come back up and doing it. And you know, there are some people that they hate transferring no matter what, and I ran into some of that on Twitter last night. But, like, to me, he finished the season. He did his job. I have no issue with Mike Wright going to somewhere else.
No, not at all. Yeah. And, in fact, I'm not sure. Did he announce as a grad transfer? I'm not sure if he's going to be able to get the degree finished. But that's a big thing. Yeah, look, if you go to Vanderbilt, I mean, get the Vanderbilt degree. I mean, that's a real valuable thing to have in life, a degree from Vanderbilt. So I don't know, but he's certainly probably well into it. Hopefully can finish that if it's not, you know, imminent here for him. Definitely not a place. I guess, let's see. So this is his fourth year of school, right? Is that right? Or was he a freshman in 20?
I thought he was a freshman in
20. I guess he was a freshman in 20. So, yeah, Vanderbilt's not a place where you see a ton of, like, two-year degrees being, you know, figured out, you know.
I wouldn't think so.
As with other schools. But, anyway, no, it's not. It's, look, it's sensible. It makes sense. A.J. Swan's going to be – he's the guy who was recruited by the staff. He replaced him. I'll be interested to see, you know, where Mike Wright lands. There's just a lot of quarterbacks in particular who have jumped into the portal. No, yeah. No big surprise. I mean, that position is – you kind of see where you are, and if you're in a lot of cases anymore. And I do think sometimes it's a mistake. Like if you're going to be the backup for a year, sometimes maybe it is worth sticking out, learning, getting better, being an understudy for a year, and then, you know, like the I must start immediately impulse, I think, sometimes – takes kids maybe way too early. But in Mike Wright's case, I mean, that's exactly what you would have expected. It would have been the much bigger surprise if he stayed.
What do you make of all the movement in the transfer portal? I mean, it does feel like, and I'd have to go look and see if it's actually the case, but it feels like there's a whole lot in there right now, especially quarterbacks. You mentioned that, but just all around college football, there's a lot of people entering the transfer portal right now.
Look, I'll go ahead and just be the boomer again. I'm for all the freedom and all the money that players can make while they're in the college game and all the benefits they can have. And for years, you were locked into a place, even if your coach decided to just bail at whatever point. And, you know, I'm for the freedom. It should be there. I think a lot of kids are making mistakes. And I think it trickles down to youth and high school football, too. I just think there's a whole bunch of, it's not working out for me right now, so let me go over here, as opposed to stick it out and see what happens. There are a lot of people who have stuck it out when it was rough early who really benefited from it in the end. Now, that's not to say you can't, like, you're not working hard or still, you know, fighting through adversity if you go to another place, but at some point, like, it's going to get difficult. So is the response to it gets difficult every time just I'm going to take my ball and go home? I think there's just too much of that. So this is now a societal rant, okay? And it's like, and another thing that, as we've seen, I don't have the numbers in front of me, there's a whole bunch of college athletes in the last couple of years who have gone to the portal and then were not taken from the portal.
Yeah.
So it's also a complete lack of self-awareness of how good you are, which is a problem too. So it's sad. I mean, but again, I don't know what the answer is, because I certainly don't want it to go back to they don't have the freedom. I mean, college athletes should have the freedom to make all the money they can make while they're playing college athletics and to go where they want to go. But I see a lot of this. I think a lot of this is not going to work out well for him. And I'm hoping that there's basically a natural course correction coming as more and more people start to see that going into the portal does not only does it not guarantee a better destination, it might not guarantee any destination.
What about Tennessee? Because they've not had a ton of activity in the portal. I think Jimmy Holiday is going to be leaving, but not much from Tennessee's standpoint on the portal to this point. I will say there are a lot of quarterbacks in the portal. There's also a pretty decent number of wide receivers in the portal right now too. And I would have to think, like, if you're a wide receiver, the Tennessee's offense would be intriguing to you. Now, I mean, look, you're going to have Squirrel White next year. Brew McCoy's coming back, so you're going to have him next year. So it's not like there's just like all these spots available for Tennessee. But I do wonder if they take a look at a wide receiver or two in the transfer portal.
Yeah, no, I think so, absolutely. That's the flip side of the portal is the teams. And, yes, you. I think if you're Tennessee, I think you're definitely looking receiver again. I think you're set at running back. You know, their running back depth has kind of left them, though. I mean, I think you're going to look for depth, but obviously those guys who transferred out, they kind of see, like, they're not going to play over those guys who are really good who are coming back.
Yeah.
I mean, offensive line and certainly into defensive help, so – I think you could make a case for Tennessee to be more active in it than they were a year ago to try to kind of bridge the gap with next season. Someone asked on the text line about Ray Davis. I was surprised by that. That's a tough break for Vanderbilt. And it's also tough, by the way. He put a tweet out, blessed to get an offer from Kentucky.
Yeah, so I saw that.
It's like that. Look, you do whatever is best for you. If you feel that's best for you, do it. Now, what I would tell a guy like Ray Davis, or like if you just don't want to be at Vanderbilt anymore, you just want to play in that Kentucky offense, that's fine. I think another thing that people, I don't know why people think this, but like you have a better chance of the NFL if you go here or there. I mean, there are some systems that could help you, but like Vanderbilt running backs have been in the NFL. If you are good enough.
Just ran for 1,000 yards.
Yeah, if you are good enough, they'll find you. And by the way, I think Ray Davis does have a chance to be in the NFL. It's crazy. Like, he goes up there with Vanderbilt. They win at Kentucky. Sorry to bring that up, but we're talking about Kentucky football, Michelle. And then now he's going to possibly transfer to Kentucky. Man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one for Clark Lee. That's where, again, it's like last year you have Tyler Steen, a nice tackle, and Alabama just said, yeah, come on over here and play down here in Tuscaloosa, Tyler. You know, if you're not an absolute power program in this era, so much of your job now is not letting your roster get rated.
Well, it's talking about recruiting and how much that's changed in terms of the NIL part of it and recruiting high school players. I don't feel bad for college football coaches with how well they're compensated. Like, it's part of the job. But I will say, like, that job is now infinitely tougher from this standpoint. Not only are you recruiting high school kids that you want to be on your team, you're also, like, in some ways, recruiting your own kids to stick around now. Like, it's what's part of the game now.
So, and this is where, if we want to take this all the way back to Vrabel and Ohio State and everything, so there is a certain level of, I don't know if it's coddling, and that's a word that you could apply to it, that probably goes on that didn't used to go on.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to tick off Johnny. He might get in the portal and go to your rival. It does make that job. Being a college coach, again, I'm not shedding a tear or playing a violin for anybody, okay? The money is incredible in major college football. But the job is
very gullible.
So
yes.
Much hard. Yes. Yes. Being an agent of college football coaches is an amazing job, by the way. You get to negotiate with ADs. But, man, it is such a harder job than it was a few years ago.
There's no question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. A wild time right now in college football. We'll take more of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll also get into the Heisman Trophy finalist discussion and look ahead at the Orange Bowl as well for Tennessee. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, the Heisman Trophy finalists were named last night. Stetson Bennett, Caleb Williams, Max Duggan, C.J. Stroud, the Heisman finalists last night. No Hendon Hooker on the list last night for the finalists of the Heisman Trophy. Four quarterbacks, Stetson Bennett, Caleb Williams, Max Duggan, C.J. Stroud. I thought that leaving off Hendon Hooker as a Heisman Trophy finalist is just absolutely absurd. And I'm under no illusion that he had any chance to win it based on the injury and based on the way things kind of shook out towards the end of the season there. So I get that. But to me, you can't tell me that there were five guys better than Hendon Hooker in college football this year. And the fact that he's not a Heisman Trophy finalist, I think Tennessee fans have more than legitimate beef with that process.
Yeah, look, it's upsetting and ridiculous. And I wasn't convinced this was going to happen. I talked to some people who we're like, he's not going to be a finalist. I'm like, I have more faith than that in these voters. And we got some good voters, by the way. So I had a buddy of mine in Big Ten country who texted me, said, hey, can you talk? Gave me a call. Said, listen, he's like, the SEC is the best conference. I can't have a ballot that doesn't have an SEC player. And I told him, and so he's asked about Hendon Hooker. I'm like, yes, he should be on your ballot. So there's a ballot he was on because someone actually cared to, like, try to, you know,
do the job.
Look, so many people who vote cover a team, and so they are absorbed in that team and then that league, and they watch highlights, and they see, wow, Hendon Hooker, an amazing performance against Alabama, and everybody agrees he's a Heisman favorite. And then they see Hendon Hooker didn't play well against Georgia, which, look, I believe then cost him winning it. I didn't believe it should cost him getting to New York, and nothing that happened should have. Not allowed to reveal my ballot until the announcement's made, but I will say that Bennett and Stroud, to me, are the biggest problems I have here. And like Caroline was saying, we're just going to go best player, best team. You know?
By the way, he's not the best player on that team.
Well, that's true, too. That's a funny thing. Yeah, Stetson Bennett's like the 27th best player on the Georgia team. I mean, he's the quarterback. So you could just change the phrasing to quarterback of the best team. You going to go quarterback of the best team? Okay. No, look, I think that Hooker should be in New York. I think that Bryce Young should be in New York. I think Caleb Williams should be there. I think Caleb Williams is a spectacular player, and that is – And look, there's a lot of subjectivity in this whole process. It's not everybody's out here like comparing stats. Well, Stetson Bennett, his stats in three quarters, and then they blew everybody out, so he just sat down. That's fine. He's a good player.
Stetson Bennett. He's very good.
But if you have whatever offense you have, whatever team you have, and you can choose Stetson Bennett or Hendon Hooker, who are you picking? You're not picking Stetson Bennett. And I know some Georgia fan on the text line is going to tell me they would. Shut up. It's not true. You would not take him. So Caleb Williams is a spectacular player, and there is something to that, too. There's just the wow plays that he makes. And, look, I don't even hate Duggan being there. I think he's a special player, too. Like, it's hard this year, but like Blake Corum from Michigan. I think we're just so quarterback-obsessed. I think he should be there before Bennett and Stroud. And last year, Kenneth Walker should have been there instead of some people who were there as a running back. But Hendon Hooker, this is one of the worst. This is a worse foul to me than Walker last year. And it's one of the worst I can recall of someone not getting to New York, who should be in consideration for first on a ballot and is not getting to New York. He's also, according to Twitter, the first SEC player of the year to go. Zach Reagan tweeted, the first one to go to be that and not go to be a finalist in New York, but then someone else from the SEC being a finalist.
Yeah.
It's bad. And it's just the process is flawed, but it's going to stay flawed. So, like, live with it, you know, I guess. There's going to be other years where we're outraged by the Heisman voting.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. Like, Hendon Hooker, I mean, you look at the year in total, and he's a Maxwell finalist. So that's for the best player in college football.
Yeah.
He's first
that's
team
top
all,
three.
Yeah, he's first team all SEC. You know, he was the SEC player of the year. So, I mean, it's not like we're going to look back and view Hendon Hooker's season, you know, as less than because he didn't get a Heisman Trophy finalist. Like, I think Tennessee fans will still know what Hendon Hooker brought to the table. But in terms of just the national recognition, it means something to be a Heisman finalist. Again, he was not going to win it, and I'm not even saying he should have won it. But the fact that he's not a finalist, I just find to be ridiculous.
Well, I don't like how – if there's something that they should change other than, you know, forcing us to, you know, like get, like, our fingerprints and, like, eye, you know, scanner and stuff
Retinal
to be
scan.
Able to do a vote, they should have five every year. Just have five. Just take your top five. Like, they have this thing where you have to have a certain number of the votes. Just take your top five.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Give him a trip to New York. It's a lifelong thing, like you said. You know, if you go through the years, the last winner that outraged me, Derrick Henry and McCaffrey was close. I think I voted for Henry over McCaffrey. Most of the winners have been good in recent years. Like Devontae Smith, I was so happy to see a non-QB win. But Burrow, of course. I mean,
sure.
Kyler, yeah. Honestly, Baker was a pretty easy pick in 17. Lamar, Derek. The last time you're outraged, again, I'll go back to 09. Just, and Dominican Sue was the best player in college football, and it's just voters are idiots. But that's how it goes. And I feel bad for Hendon Hooker because he should have that experience. And some people say that I don't think the injury is what it was, and I don't think there's some media conspiracy against Tennessee. I think this is just the flaw in the voting, and we are kind of like we as a collective of people who vote for words. It's like, you seriously are like a dog. Oh, over here. Oh, and then you go over here. Oh, this happened. Mm-hmm. And you forget about this over here. And too many people forgot how good Hendon Hooker was this year, which is sad.
Pete from Adairville on the text line says, do educated voters realize that Tennessee runs a gimmick offense? This is from Pete on the text line.
See, this is – it's – Yeah, it's such a bad take. I mean, again, RG3 won it in 2011, same offense. I mean, I voted for him. Yeah. He absolutely should have won it. And RG3 was, what, rookie of the year, right? And obviously, correct, his knee blew up on him. The gimmick offense, all of these offenses are trying to create space for people. Everyone runs some – I mean, just about everyone runs some form of a spread offense now. A lot of people run tempo now. Tennessee does it really well, and they got the wider splits. And it's dropping back, it's reading coverage, and it's throwing passes. I mean, come on.
JC in Goodsville, we can really get this going. Woodson or Manning for Heisman? Talking to you.
Well, I'm not that old, okay? So I did not have a vote then. Boy. See?
Are you not that old?
I am not that old.
Okay.
I was a kid.
All right.
I was basically a kid listening to Wham.
Yeah. Who are these people saying that, Joe? Come on.
If I had a vote that year, my goodness, that would have been difficult. But here's the thing. I was in the stadium when Charles Woodson jumped over everyone and one-handed intercepted the ball in a win at Michigan State, which was kind of his Heisman moment.
Yeah. You've gone Woodson.
I might have gone Woodson.
Just say it.
But honestly, like I mean, it's close. Because, I mean, Peyton Manning was incredible. If Peyton Manning, if he would have beaten Florida, he would have absolutely won the Heisman that year.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this yesterday, and again, without revealing your vote, like just the difficulty of this Heisman Trophy vote, even as somebody who doesn't vote on it. I mean, I was sitting there on Sunday like, who would I vote for if I was voting for the Heisman Trophy? Like, usually it becomes relatively clear, I feel like. And this year, I think it was more complicated than I can remember in a long time.
It was. But you still, like, I think Hendon Hooker, and I know we're here in Tennessee. We've been talking about him and the Vols all year. So you have to keep that in mind, too. It's way more on our brains than a lot of people who vote for this award. But I just feel like if you're going to do this, if you want to vote for the Heisman, then you got to be willing to do some work on it. Like, I looked into Michael Penix, and he had tremendous numbers. I think Penix, Drake May, you know, they had a losing streak at the end, and he made some mistakes. He's special.
Yep.
And, next year he'll probably be the favorite going into the season. But, like, you have to look at these people and, like, look at what they did and spend a little bit of time with it. And clearly too many people didn't, because I think way more ballots would have had Hooker.
Well,
on them.
That's my biggest problem with the whole process. Anywhere from voting before conference championship weekend to
ridiculous,
just the way that you can't convince me that some people just be like, well, all right, yeah, looks good on my Heisman ballot, and they just turn it in for the heck of turning it in.
If that's the case, I promise you there are people in your state, whatever state, like Jimmy Hyams does the Heisman voting in this state, there are people in this state who would gladly take your vote, who will put time into it. So if that's you out there in the world, then just give up your freaking vote.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it this year. And by the way, I'm excited to reveal my ballot next week and see how many people had the first place person that I did. I bet you it's not a lot, but I got a good argument for it.
Well, I'm looking forward to that as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. That is next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Lived the man who sailed to sea, and he told us of his life.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rex Road, this is not Wham. I turn things over to you.
Yeah, you promised me more Wham.
Yeah, but then I was like, wait, Joe likes those songs.
That is true.
So, any other segment except for this one.
Okay, that's fine. I don't mean, hey, look, I'll take any Beatles song, you know. Gotta give Ringo a little love. Let Ringo sing a song every now and then, you know. Not his best ever. Ringo does have some good songs, I would like to point out. Not as many as George, Paul, and John, but some good songs. Let's continue. Yeah, I don't even want to hear your take on the Beatles. Let's continue. I want to do a sub rant on what we're talking about.
Okay.
Because we're kind of mid rant on the Heisman stuff. So one thing that I see from all of the people who are finalists now is like people who cover them putting out stats and stuff showing like why they are basically validating what they've done, which again is fine, but to me, if you're going to do that, then also use the information on the other people. Why? Like, I just feel like college football media, and this is not new. This is not breaking news here, but the homerness of college football media is sometimes just over. It's crippling. It's overwhelming.
Too much.
It's a lot of cherry picking of stats out there too.
Yeah, and again, it's like you're not. If you work for a team, then fine. If not, it's not your job at all to advocate. Now, look, we're talking about Hendon Hooker. Yep. I'm complaining about Hendon Hooker, so I guess you could say, well, you're doing the same thing. But I just think objectively that it's wrong that Hendon Hooker is not there. If I paid, I will say this. Again, I was outraged living in Michigan about Nebraska. And by the way, they were in the Big 12. They weren't even in the Big 10 then. Player Ndamukong Suh not winning the Heisman or not even being close, because it was clear to me just from following college football, even though still, like, you're locked into your team, you're locked into your conference, but if you paid any attention in 2009, he was the most dominant player in the game, period. And we should have more dominant defensive players winning the Heisman or having a chance to win the Heisman. You just talk about Charles Woodson.
At least be a finalist, yeah.
It's insane. So I'm outraged about him. I know, and that's a thing, too, is then a lot of people, in Nashville, people complaining that Tennessee compared to, they just love their Hendon Hooker. Objectively, Hendon Hooker should be there. But objectively is how people have got to try to do this a little bit more rather than just pom-pom for whoever you cover. So, I mean, and look, I can go find some West tweets that are probably pretty, you know, really angry right now. I mean,
the
you know,
Rucker Tucker Ruckus.
The Rucker Tucker Ruckus?
What did we come up with?
Yeah, we need a Rucker Tucker Ruckus.
Ruckus. Yes.
Let's see. I'm actually going back. Yeah. And now, you know, also this gets into, like, even in my mentions, I've got Georgia fans, you know, going back and forth with some Tennessee fans. And it's like, well, which one of them went undefeated? It's like, yeah, that is true. And if that's how we're going to evaluate it, then I guess give him the Heisman. I mean, his team's number one. Give him the Heisman.
But listen, put George's defense on Stetson Bennett. See how he reacts to it.
Right. Like have him play. Yeah, have him play against his defense. Just this time of year and other times of year, just college football media, just a little bit less, you know, well, the pom-poms here.
The bottom line is, like, it's pretty clear that Heisman voting is flawed. And I've talked about this before. Like, it's not really a great way of doing it. The problem is I don't know what the great way of doing it is because, you know, we've talked about this with, you know, NHL awards, NFL awards in the postseason. I mean, good Lord, last year when Roman Yossi didn't win the Norris Trophy, we spent a whole lot of time talking about voting and how that works. So there's never really a perfect way to do it. I understand that. But it does feel like with this specific award, there's either way too much laziness of I'm either filling out the ballot before all the information is complete or I don't really want to take the time to do my research, so I'll just fill out the ballot that goes on. And I don't know how you stop all that. Like there's a lot of people voting on the Heisman Trophy, and I just don't know that it's ever going to be something that we get a perfect solution on.
Well, and this is why I think with any of it, I think that ballot reveal should be part of all awards.
Totally agree.
Then you're at least accountable for you're not just trying to like stuff the ballot, right? Look, I'll tell you this. I got a lot of friends, Wes, friend of the show, a lot of friends over there in Knoxville. If they all voted Hendon Hooker first, I think that's ridiculous.
Agreed.
That's saying that, and also, if that's the case, because, you know, it's a weighted point system. So if that is the case, then it really shows you how disrespected Hendon Hooker was outside of that. And that's the thing. if you want Hendon Hooker to win the Heisman or get to New York, you might say, well, I'm going to give him a first-place vote because I know other parts of the country aren't going to vote for him. Maybe that'll make the difference. Again, if that's how you think about it, give up your vote. It's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be trying to manipulate it to get the outcome you want. You're supposed to actually look at the candidates and vote on who you think are the best three players. So, there's a lot of voting. It is. Voting for awards is cheeks.
Well, I'm interested to see, like, is Hooker going to be fifth? Is he going to be sixth? Like, there is the Bryce Young discussion, too, which, by the way, like, I still think you can make an argument that he's the best player in college football, which is what the award's supposed to be. So I don't know where that's gonna what that's gonna look like and where it's gonna end up, but it's fascinating to me, this discussion. I mean, Jacob on the text line says, since you say Hooker should be objectively a part of the top four, can't someone else say the same thing about Williams, Stroud, or Bennett? Just because you say it's objective doesn't mean it actually is. But I do agree Bennett should not be there. Stroud maybe too, but that is subjective.
Well, okay, yeah. Yes, you're right. It's opinion, so it is subjective. But objectively, to me, I'm saying that in terms of – it's certainly not like objectively fact. Of course not. I'm saying if you separate – if you back up to me and you look at everything and you have no dog in the fight – and you look at Hooker, let's take those players. You take Williams, Stroud, Bennett. I mean, you can poke Holt. You can say, well, yeah, but Williams is in the Pac-12. How good are those defenses? To me, I have a hard time with the case for Bennett or Stroud ahead of Hooker. I do. I have a hard time with those two in particular over Hooker based on body of work.
Well, I feel like C.J. Stroud coming into this year, I mean, it was his to lose.
Agreed.
And then he didn't have some – I mean, he didn't play spectacular, right? We saw – even against Northwestern, oh, it's the weather. Okay, whatever. And then the Michigan game. But I feel like coming into the season, right, it's his to lose. And then that's kind of the way people looked at him the entire year.
Which is different than what I'm – complaining about, but it's also a big problem. It's just laziness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. And then it continues into the voting. Yeah.
No, I agree. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. Which, again, it's like if you care that little, again, there are people who would like to vote.
Yeah. No question about it. Maddie on the text line says, swap the Georgia and Tennessee defense, and Hooker's the favorite. If an external factor makes a player hand over fist better, the player isn't the difference maker. It's so frustrating. This is from Maddie on the text line. So, obviously, lots of Tennessee fans that are frustrated about the Heisman Trophy finalists. We'll see, I guess, where Hendon Hooker eventually ends up in the voting. My guess is he's going to be fifth. That's just my guess. But I don't know that.
Yeah.
He could be sixth.
I mean, if he's not seven. Top – that's the thing. If he's not top five, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Again, more ridiculousness. If he is top five, then Heisman people pay for him to go to New York.
Yeah.
It's just – there's a lot of thoughts on this. How many voters? I mean, I'm looking it up. I mean, I think it's – is it about 900?
There's a lot of voters.
Also, they should just not even send out the ballot until after conference championships.
Well, I totally agree.
Oh, believe me.
I mean, that's just an easy one that should just be changed.
I don't know. Yeah, there's 870 media voters. There's 100 – yeah, there's six regions, and it's 100. But they do it state by state, too. Like, again, Jimmy Hyams, like, coordinates it in this state. So – it's a lot of people. But, again, there are plenty of people in this state who, like, if you're not going to take it seriously, or whatever state, like, you can find other people who can do a better job.
By the way, real quickly, this is off subject, but Darren Revelle's put this out there. Jalen Hyatt has signed an NIL deal with Hyatt, the hotels.
Oh, hell yeah.
Apparently the deal includes Jalen Hyatt gifting the entire Tennessee football team with hotel credit equivalent to their stay for the Orange Bowl in Miami.
Dude, that
Stop
is
it.
One of my
that
favorite
is,
things ever.
Okay, that and the mustard bottle for Hendon, yeah. Amazing.
There's some elite NIL stuff going on with the Vols.
There is.
That's fantastic.
Very good stuff. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. We'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.